silhouette against the gray and darkened sky. Flying up their information, I think I know why, but it's no surprise. It happens every year about this time.
From his early days of playing alone in the living room with Herb Alpert on the TJB to second chair trumpet in the high school band, music has been an integral part in the life of Doug Irving. After 8 years in Nashville, Doug moved back home to the Northeast in 2006. He has just put the finishing touches on the ambitious 2-CD and Adirondack Suite, which you just heard a bit of. He's currently working on publishing a book of his poetry and song lyrics, as well as his first novel. Doug Irving and friends will share an evening of Adirondack music at the Linda. That's tomorrow at 8 p.m. Doug Irving, welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
That's a lovely sounding record you have there.
Well, thank you very much.
How on earth did you go from playing along with Herb Alpert to that?
Well, there's several years segue there, but
yeah, I understand.
It wasn't quick. I don't know. I just I migrated toward that stuff when I was first, in third, fourth, fifth grade. It was TJB was big at that time.
Yeah.
Herb Alpert was a household name and had a household product. So I was already playing an instrument, the flutophone.
Yep.
Migrated
the flutophone.
That's what you always start with that. They don't let you touch the trumpet until you master the flutophone.
Right.
And that was in like third grade. But I did start playing the trumpet, and I became pretty good at it. I was actually in the senior band in sixth grade. But I did some performances with a friend of mine. Played piano, so I did some solo stuff. But at the time I was already starting to sneak over toward the piano in the auditorium and kind of start doing that stuff. And then my parents got me a guitar for my 11th birthday, and there you go.
Was it an electric guitar or an acoustic guitar?
It was an acoustic guitar with the action about an inch and a half.
I remember those.
Yes.
These are student models, and no kid could ever press down the strings.
If you can master this, we'll give you the next one.
So you became heavily involved in songwriting, and you went to Nashville for years. Mm-hmm. What brought you back to the Great Northeast?
It was a family thing. I was going to be near my kids. It was a situation with my ex-wife. So I moved back to be near them, basically, yeah, to be in their lives. So my family's very important to me. So.
Well, tell me about how you became a songwriter, and tell me about how that process works for you. It works differently for so many different writers, but how does it work for you?
Well, it is different for every writer, I would have to say. I don't know. I get inspired by just about anything. I mean, there's a song in anything you experience in your life. If you're a writer, you see, there's a story there or there's an angle. So I'm always looking around for things to write about. And the album, the Adirondack Suite album, just happened to be something I've been thinking about probably for decades. But I didn't execute it until within the last couple of years.
Were the melodies in your head, or did you have to really craft them?
Well, I do craft them. They do come to
or
me.
Both,
I'm
not sure.
Well, I would say it's a bit of both. That's right. Yeah. I don't know. It's an innate thing. I believe. Some people can imagine melodies, and some people can't. It's just you can't. I don't know. You can really train to do it, but if you have it in you, you can kind of develop it and get better at it. I like to write things that are memorable, so I do craft things. I don't. I hate to hear songs and say, "Oh, that's a nice song," but I'm not going to remember that. I want people to hear mine and say, "Ah, I like that." So,
some of the great ones will say, "Well, I don't know where it comes from. Somewhere else, it just comes through me."
I agree with that. Your Burt Bacharachs and your Andrew Lloyd Webbers and those kind of people. They're wonderful melodies. You wonder where they come from.
So, an Adirondack Suite, this is largely or all acoustic?
No, it's a mix.
Yeah.
It's acoustic. I would say the acoustic is the lead instrument on a lot of the songs. However, it is a full production. It's a full rhythm section. There's some strings on things. There's fiddle, dobro, banjo, rootsy stuff. And that's what people who have heard the album have commented that, it sounds like stuff that you haven't really been associated with before. So, I never really wrote about the Adirondacks before. But if you wander around the Adirondacks and listen to the music of the people, you're going to hear that.
Now, were you conscious of saying, well, this is very much in the tradition of the music here, or is this an impressionistic sort of filtered through your your life experience?
I think it's what I witnessed, what I've seen and heard. definitely.
Now, the new album, An Adirondack Suite, a musical composition commemorating the Adirondack region, its history and splendor, comes with a lovely book, music and lyrics by Doug Irving. Doug is our guest here. Doug and friends will share an evening of Adirondack music at the Linda tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Boy, the month is flying by. It really is. Now, you know, I'll get back to the original question, mm-hmm. and I find it interesting that you could be listening to pop, and essentially Herb Alpert was pop in the 60s.
Absolutely.
And somehow you got to country music, and you were a very successful country music writer, and you wrote for Marinda James. And, and so how did that happen?
Well, I can tell you this, that there was not a short segue there either. I did spend some time. I mean, I'm from here, and I've spent most of my life here, but I spent 7 years in Texas.
Yeah.
Back in the late 70s and early 80s, compliments of Uncle Sam. I was actually in Uncle Sam's band.
Oh, were you?
I was in the Air Force band, yeah.
That's a great group.
In San Antonio. So I lived there for 7 years, so I got my first taste of my roommate was in the... a lot of people probably don't realize that a lot of people have heard the service bands, but they don't know that there's a lot of other bands, field bands.
Yeah.
What most people have heard will be the featured bands like the Air Force Academy band or the one in D.C. Those are the featured bands.
Yeah.
At the time, back in the late 70s, there were 8 or 10 field bands as well. And the one location was at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio.
Were you playing trumpet in those days?
Well, that's an interesting question. I went there as a vocalist.
Really?
A singer. I tried out in basic training. Yeah, I didn't go there intending to be in the Air Force band. I was going to go to Biloxi, Mississippi and be a paper pusher.
Yeah.
But when I heard about this, you know, they're doing auditions for the band. It was like, well, why would I not go to that? So I did audition and got put in. But when you work... Well, when you're owned by the government and you're wearing a uniform, anything you do, if you talk about it, you will do it. So I didn't mention the trumpet tie-in until I had been there for several months, and my best friend was Brian Amos, and he was a trumpet player. He said, "You know, does the colonel know that you play trumpet?" I said, "I haven't said a word."
Don't offer it up. That's number one rule, eh?
He said, "Because if you do, you will be playing it." And a week later, I was in the marching band. I said, "Brian, how did that happen?"
Oh, man. Doug Irving is our guest, and far from the Air Force Band, it's Adirondack music, which will be on tap tomorrow night at the Linda, Doug Irving and Friends, and you have some pretty good players with you.
Oh, absolutely. I've been blessed in the last year and a half as I've gotten out into the broader Capital District with my Nashville Songwriters Association chapter. Of meeting many, 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 many fine writers and singers from the Capital District area. Nancy Walker, Kate McDonald, C.B. Smith, Ray Agnew. There's about 16 people that are going to be involved in the show tomorrow night. And doing different...
16?
16,
so
yeah.
it's an Adirondack big band.
It's a bash, that's right, yeah. They won't all be on stage at the same time.
Wow.
For the first song and the last song, most of them will be. So we're not going to fall off the stage, I hope, but there's a fairly big group. But some of the songs require a little more a broad bass kind of a vocal presentation. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing.
Now, you play often with this aggregate, or is this a special occasion?
This is a special occasion, but I've played semi-frequently with several of them in smaller venues in my songwriter showcases, Nancy Walker especially.
And what does Nancy play?
Nancy's a singer, and she plays guitar.
Okay.
She's also a songwriter. Almost everybody I'm playing with are also songwriters, not just singers and players.
So you're working on a book of poetry and song lyrics and a novel.
Yes.
All right, so how does this dovetail with what you've done here, which is almost not a novel in feel, but it's an expansive sort of filled with stories?
It's a bit cathartic, I would say. I don't know. I'm a creative person, and I get ideas. And I once again, segueing back to what you asked earlier about where did this inspiration come from. Having lived in Texas for 7 years, I also lived in Nashville for 8 years. And the story in the novel I'm working on, the novel's called A Day Late and a Buck Snort.
The
play on words there. And then Buck Snort is an actual town outside Nashville, about 50 miles west of Nashville.
Yeah.
And the story evolves around an incident that happens there. And So it's some place I've actually been.
Is Nashville the cutthroat town for musicians that we are led to believe?
It is.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
How do you do it?
You've got to be a little louder noise than the one next to you, because there's, at any given time, there's thousands of songwriters, thousands of guitar players, and many of them are really good.
Yeah.
So there's only so many spots. So in the 8 years I was there, I saw many people come and go.
Yeah. On to better things, or on to just be gone?
Back home.
John Sebastian always tells the story about, he wrote that song Nashville Cats with mm-hmm. 11 Spoonful, and they were just in a motel, a Holiday Inn or something,
yeah.
And the house band was better than anything they ever heard.
Right.
No,
there's the fine musicianship, the writing. You can hear songwriters rounds every, umpteen places every night of the week. There's a creative aura about Nashville, and I picked up on that. I learned a lot.
The Texas blues genre influence you at all in your stay there?
I would say some. One of the songs on, you might answer that question yourself, the song on the album called Woodpile is about... what's crawling around the woodpile. So,
that's an Adirondack theme right there. Absolutely.
It's become a favorite with a lot of, and C.B. Smith is going to be singing that tomorrow night.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Doug Irving is our guest here. The Evening of Adirondack Music, scheduled for tomorrow night at 8 p.m. You can find out more at thelinda.org. What inspires you as a writer? Now, after all these years of writing, is it tougher to be inspired to?
I think it's easier. I think. If you're a beginning writer and someone says, well, you can, and you're asking, where do I get ideas from? Well, open your eyes, look around you. There's ideas everywhere. You have to learn how to hone in on, it's not just the idea, it's developing the idea. It's not writing things, it's rewriting things.
Yeah.
Some of those nuanced things about writing are, that isn't evident right away.
Yeah.
I meet a lot of young writers through my NSAI chapter. I have our next meeting is tonight, actually, up in Queensbury.
Right.
And I hear them come in. We play songs, we critique, and I hear lots of times that this is an idea. I say, that's a great idea, but it's not developed yet. Dig in. Let's hear the story behind the story. I'm a why person. My wife will always tell you, I know that something happened. I want to know why it happened.
Well, that's the story.
Yeah, that's the story.
And that's the song.
So So it's a matter of getting better at. But I've been writing for several decades, so I'm trying to. I think I'm better.
Well, the album sounds great. How long did it take you actually to record this? The actual recording.
The actual recording process. I did the rhythm sections, the tracks with the players in Nashville last November, Thanksgiving week, and that took 2 days.
Right.
And then I did the vocals here in South Glens Falls at a studio called Lilac Studios. So I did all the vocals and the mixing locally. But it took about 3 or 4 months.
Well, that's not much by modern standards. And I gathered no auto-tune being used.
No, absolutely not.
Good for you. All right, well, listen, we are out of time. Doug Irving and friends at the Linda tomorrow night, an evening of Adirondack music. And you can find out more at thelinda.org. Doug, thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you, Ray.
You are listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.